here this evening, especially any visitors. Extend another welcome to you. Tonight, we're going to be looking at two parallel passages, one written by Paul and one written by Peter, that use this this verse that we just read, this passage from Psalms, as kind of a foundation. Both Paul and Peter, in a way, quote this this passage from Psalm 118, and so we're going to look at both of those passages and see how they expand upon this idea of Christ being the cornerstone and what that means for us. And so before we begin, before we actually get into the passages that you see here, Ephesians 2 and 1 Peter 2, this Psalm 118, this passage was actually used quite a bit. It was referenced quite a bit in the New Testament. And so we understand this is a prophetic psalm speaking of Jesus. And the reason we know that is Jesus actually himself references this verse when he's speaking to the Pharisees, and we won't read all of these passages. But when he's speaking to the Pharisees, he refers to Psalm 118. And he doesn't directly call himself the stone in this passage, but he implies that by them rejecting him and his teaching, they are rejecting this stone that is going to be used and is going to be something that is marvelous. And so at this point, the Pharisees seek to kill Jesus at this point because they understand what he is saying using this verse, this passage. The next instance that we see Psalm 118 used is Acts 4 in verse 11. In this, Peter is again speaking to the Jews of the time, and in fact, he's speaking to the high priest. And here, it's more firm, it's more concrete. Peter connects the stone that was rejected to Jesus, and that Jesus was the stone. And so we have these instances of this Psalm 118 being used to connect Jesus to this stone that was rejected that would then be used as the chief cornerstone. And the idea of the chief cornerstone being the most important foundation block that was going to be built upon. So moving on from there, we then get to our passages. And Paul and Peter both use this idea of Christ being the chief cornerstone, but they take that and they expand upon it and have more application. Instead of just being Christ is the cornerstone that he was rejected, they expand upon it and they there are applications for us because of Christ being the cornerstone. And tonight what I want to do is I want to first read these passages in their entirety because as we're reading them, I want you to listen and see the similarities between these passages, what they're saying, the similar language that they're using. And then also I want you to notice one difference that we'll get to at the very end. And so before we start making application for ourselves, I just want to sit down and read these passages and see what they say. So we'll start with Ephesians 2. And we'll read 19 through 22. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So that's a short passage. Peter, his passage is a little bit longer. There's a little bit more to it. But let's go ahead and read that as well so that we can see, line these two passages up together. So 1 Peter 2, verse 4 through 12. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. So here we have two passages, one written by Paul to the Ephesians and one written by Peter, that use this idea of Christ being the cornerstone. And from it, there are things that, because of that, they apply to us. And so tonight, I want to dive into the text and see what it says for us. The first thing I want to point out and bring out is, in both of these, we are part of the structure. We are living stones being fitted together. And I took that from both passages. Being fitted together comes from Ephesians 2, where it talks about we are being fitted or joined together into a holy temple. And the idea of us being living stones comes from 1 Peter. And so a few things about us being built into this structure. The first part of it is also from 1 Peter 2, we read that we are rejected stones. It says, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men. And this is the same language that's used in Psalm 118, that this idea of a rejected stone, the stone that the builders rejected, it says in Psalm 118. And so to be part of this structure, we must become like Christ. John 15 and 18, that's what Jesus himself says. It says in John 15, 18, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. We cannot be a part of this structure. We cannot be a part of this building if the world has not rejected us, because then we are not a part of Jesus. We are not based on that same cornerstone that Christ was. He was rejected. We must be rejected by the world. The second part that we can see from these about being part of this building is this is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. So it's not just that Christ is the cornerstone. We have other examples. We have other teaching that we have to look to. And we see that in Acts 2, in verse 42, after on the day of Pentecost, the apostles are teaching, and so many of these people who are there respond, and they are baptized, and they come and respond to the word. But then later, it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And so there is more than just the idea of the example of Christ, that he is our cornerstone exactly, but we also have teachings from the apostles and the prophet and prophets that are also lay the foundation that we must build upon. And lastly, this idea of being built into the structure is we are living stones. This is an active service to God. Romans 12 and verse 1 has a very similar language. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual or reasonable service of worship. And so we are living sacrifices. We are living stones. We have to be active to be part of this structure. The next thing I want to pull out from these texts is this idea of that we are being built up into a structure. Well, what is that structure? What are we being fitted together into? Well, we are being built into a spiritual temple of God. And so we see that in 1 Peter 2, we are called a holy priesthood. And this idea of a holy priesthood, we can understand a little bit more about in Hebrews. Hebrews 10:19 through 20. It tells us, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We are able to draw near to God because we are now part of this holy priesthood. In the Old Testament, only the priests were able to go into the holy place, and only the high priest was able to enter the most holy place. And yet, we have this blessing that we are part of this temple of God. We are the priesthood, and so we are able to go and draw near to God through the blood of Jesus. And so part of this structure that we are being built into, it allows us access to God. And because of that, we are called on to offer up these spiritual sacrifices. Again, looking in Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for which such sacrifices God is pleased. No longer are we making animal sacrifices yearly for the setting aside of our sin. But now the sacrifices that we are called upon is these spiritual sacrifices of praising God, as it says in verse 15, as well as doing good and sharing. And these are the sacrifices in which God is pleased. These are the spiritual sacrifices that we as a priesthood, we as part of this spiritual dwelling place of God, are called on to do. And so we have the idea that we are being built into this structure, and this structure is the holy place, the dwelling place of God, and because of that, it changes us. We are transformed to these to perform these spiritual sacrifices that we're called on. Now I want to kind of point out, I told you at the very beginning that there were similarities between these two passages, yet there's one interesting thing that I noticed as I was reading it. They use the same language for one part, but they're making very different applications. And the idea, the language that they're using, and if you're reading the ESV, it's actually different words. If you're reading the New American Standard, it's the same word, the same two words. But this idea of being strangers and aliens. And so in Ephesians 2, Paul says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints. And so Ephesians 2, we see we're no longer strangers. We now have a citizenship with God. We are now fellow citizens with saints and with the members, and we are called into this household of God. And yet, in 1 Peter 2, in verse 11, and I'll go ahead and read from the New American Standard because it uses the same language, whereas the ESV is a little bit different. In verse 11, it says, "Behold, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul." So here in 1 Peter 2, we are strangers and aliens, and we are urged to abstain from fleshly lusts. So the same language, and I always find it interesting when the same language is used for very different applications. But in the first, in Ephesians 2, Paul is saying, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens. But in 1 Peter 2, we are strangers and we are aliens, and because of that, it changes our actions. And of course, we understand that Paul is speaking of that we have been brought in to the household of God. We are no longer strangers and aliens to the household of God. We have been brought in through Christ. And so then because of that, we are fellow citizens. Whereas Paul is mentioning this more as the sense that this is not our home, that we are strangers and aliens here on this earth, and that our citizenship is not here. And because of that, it reflects in our actions. But there is this difference. There is this the same language being used. We are strangers, yet we are citizens. And it reminds me of Romans 6, 17 through 19. And this idea of you can be a slave to one thing or a slave to the other. You will be a slave to something. And Romans 6 makes this case. Romans 6, 17 through 19. "But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you were once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification." And so this idea of you can either be a slave to sin or you can be a slave to righteousness. And there are outcomes. There are consequences for that choice. One is being a slave to impurity leads to more lawlessness. The power of sin that Terry was talking about this morning, that it kind of can control you and it can snowball. It can lead to more and more lawlessness when you are a slave to sin, and it can seem difficult to come out of that. But giving up your life, getting rid of that sin, no longer becoming a slave to sin, you are still being a slave to something. It's just that being a slave is now being a slave to righteousness, which leads to sanctification. And so this language, you have a choice. You can either be a slave to sin or you can be a slave to righteousness. In Ephesians 2, you can either be a stranger to God or you can be a stranger to the world. Those are your choices. You will be a stranger and alien somewhere. You will not fit in somewhere. You have been rejected by one or the other, and it is your choice as to who you are going to be rejected by, whether you're going to be a rejected stone that's built into the household of God, or you're going to be rejected by God and not built into this house. And so finally, I have just a few questions to end with. Who is our cornerstone? As we examine our lives, do we match up to the cornerstone of Jesus? Are we being built in to that foundation of the apostles and the prophets? Or are we rejecting that? Are we going our own way? Second, are we strangers to this world, or are we strangers to Christ? Like I said, there is a choice, and you will be a stranger to one or the other. And then lastly, in 1 Peter 2 and verse 12, the last part, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, that they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. I think this is a really interesting scripture here, passage. Will our actions cause people to glorify God in the day of visitation? Even the people who reject us, even the people who mock us, who slander us, will our actions, will they be righteous, and will our actions cause people to glorify God through us, through our actions? Are we doing something that will bring glory to God in the day of visitation? So these are three things that I want to leave with you tonight, so that you can think about Christ the cornerstone and us being built into this holy temple so that we can offer spiritual sacrifices to Him. And if there is anyone here tonight who does not feel like they have rejected the world fully or still clinging on to the world and understand that by holding on to that world, they will not be built into this into this structure where they can be built on Christ, the cornerstone. Or you haven't come to Christ yet at all. You haven't been baptized into His blood so that He can bring us closer. That if you have not been baptized, you are still a stranger and an alien to the household of God. If there is anyone here tonight that needs something from the congregation, we ask that you please come as we stand and sing.